Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. Welcome to this month's Power Agent interview. I've got somebody really special on the call here. Her name is Chris Swim. Say hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. How's everyone?
So, again, Chris is with Coldwell Banker Residential in Massachusetts. I'm going to have her give her contact information. Actually, let's just do that. So, Chris, why don't you give your city that you're in and email, phone number, whatever you want to give them, so people, in case they want to give you some referrals.
Oh, sure. Not a problem at all. So, again, it's Chris Swim. I'm in Duxbury, Massachusetts. That's D-U-X-B-U-Y. I'm on the south shore of Mass near the water. My cell is 781-561-5163. My office address is 15 Depot Street in Duxbury, Mass, and that's 02332. But feel free to call me anytime on my cell.
Awesome. Do we have an email for you too, Chris?
Sure, yeah. Daryl. My email is chris.swem, S as in Sam, W-E-M, at N-E-Moves, that's N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, moves with an S.com.
Awesome.
So,
all right, well, this is great. Chris, I really appreciate you doing this, because really this is going to make a difference in agents' lives. Gang, the reason why I asked Chris to do this interview, which was funny, because I just saw her at a seminar that I did, and we just started talking a little. Something came up in our conversation where this is her first year in real estate. Well, it's now a year and how many months, Chris?
A year and, like, 3 months.
Yeah, so... still brand new agent, but I was really taken back by, most agents in their first, second year are struggling financially. And Chris has done nine transactions in her first year, and it came to, what was it, over $7 million? Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, it was over $7 million for the first year.
Which is really awesome. And so, I wanted to kind of get her on this interview again so we can kind of just talk to her about, because I know so many of you are having challenges in that first or second year. Some of you may be less than 3 years, and still that's a big number. So we're going to kind of look at what Chris is going through. So, Chris, let me ask you, when you got into real estate, I'm curious, what did you do before real estate?
Okay, so what I did before real estate is I graduated from Villanova way back when, about 25 years ago, and I went into business. So when I moved with my husband up to Massachusetts, I was in the healthcare consulting business with a firm in Philadelphia called Lattenfall and Harlap. So
okay.
I was there for 3 years, came up to Boston, and did a little headhunting up here, went into my own business, and then had kids. And I was in a good position where I could stay at home and raise my two daughters, which I did.
Right.
But
right.
When I was in the community, what I did for until I got my youngest out to college is I did a lot of volunteering, and I ended up being president of the Duxbury Art Association as well as, like, VP of the South Shore Conservatory for a while. So I really kept myself active in the business, and it's a great source of education and income to have women who are home raising their kids but can also improve the community, because I feel like that's what I did. I went out and fundraised like a couple $1 million, had buildings built and that sort of thing.
Wow. So I think now I just want to capture this, what you said, because, so one of the things that I'm assuming has helped you in your business and will continue is the fact that you were very socially involved in your community, correct?
That I was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was in control of budgets, too, that were on a nonprofit basis, but still. So it kept my, I like business, but it also, yes, I was very involved in the community, correct.
Wow. Okay, great. So now, what had you choose real estate to get involved with that?
Well, believe it or not, back in 1987, I got my license and just had it in my back pocket for all those years because I knew I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it when I was raising my kids. I was doing other things. So I knew as soon as my youngest daughter went off to college, and I traveled with her when she was in high school because she was an athlete. So I knew there was no way I could do both. But I knew as soon as she got settled in college, I would go ahead and go into real estate full time.
Okay.
So it was always in the back of my mind. And since I was a kid in Philadelphia, I would help my brother-in-law redesign his houses. He was in real estate, and he would flip properties.
Okay.
So it's always – and I also have – I went to Columbus College of Art and Design, blah, blah, blah. Long history of checkered past of college, but, you know, so I was into design and interiors and that sort of thing. And I renovated homes here in my town of Duxbury. So,
So real estate has always been a big part of what you, of your life.
Yeah, they were my houses. It wasn't, but I would help other people redo their kitchens and baths and that sort of thing. So it's always been in my blood, so to speak.
Okay. Well, so it sounds like that you actually love real estate, period, right?
I do, yeah.
Well, that's important,
and you know
right?
what? Daryl, it actually gives me energy. It doesn't bother me. I mean, yes, you work 12, 15 hours a day, and I do a lot of the time, but it just keeps going. It's not like a struggle, like I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I never really have felt like that, but it's a huge learning curve, and that was not easy. So
now
it's not easy.
What,
it does not fall in your lap.
That's for sure. And so tell us then, what is it about the business that gives you energy?
I think it's an intelligent business. I think it's the situation that you have so many counterparts that you work with. It's like a puzzle piece. You have your lenders, you have your attorneys, you have your buyers, your sellers. You're really putting everything together. They're all kind of sitting out there. I guess my most, what I like the best is moving people from A to B. I like that challenge of it. I like meeting the people, whether they have the listing and they're a seller or a buyer. It's still a process of figuring out where they're going, and you really have to be a chameleon because everyone's different, and every situation is completely different.
Now, you know what, that's really profound what you said, that I think for most of us, the driving force of what am I going to do today, I have to get listings, I have to get sales, I've got to build my shoe store, I've got to generate cash, but what you just said, what gives you that energy, what gets you excited, is you love the part about just helping people move them from point A to point B, whether it's the buyer, whether it's the seller. So what you have to do is obviously find out, all right, what's that point A to point B, what's important, and then, of course, once we find that, then there's the mechanics of it, the attorneys, the mortgage. But ultimately, what's always there is moving people from point A to point B. So that's really important from an attitude standpoint. Because when you have that bigger picture, now you're working for a cause to contribute to others, and that I can see how that would give somebody excitement, enthusiasm, and energy.
Well, let me tell you this though, it's really interesting because my first listing was 2.5. It sold for 2.480 million. And my least income of the year listing was $37,000. And the $37,000 was a mobile home that I took as a just as a nicety for an agent, a Coldwell Banker agent up in Maine. I said, sure, I'll do it. Not a problem. But the point is, whether you're at a 2.5 million or 37,000, I swear to God, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't, it's not like you throw one out and you don't throw the other one out. It still all has to be done the same way.
Yeah, I love that. That's powerful. Okay, good. So now let's talk about where some of your business came from. So now that first sale, you double dipped. So, is really great when you do that. How did you find the seller, or how did they find you?
Okay. So my first sale, and I have to say, too, I was lucky enough, and when I went back to get into real estate, I interviewed with, I think it was almost 7 different companies before I made my choice of Coldwell Banker. And one of the things I talked about when I went to write up everything with Coldwell Banker is I really wanted – a mentor, because I felt like it's a very important business and you really need to know what you're doing. So
right.
They gave me a mentor who was phenomenal. And, you know, I got the seller, but she would help me with the mechanics behind it. And let me tell you this, too. The seller knew I was new to the business. I don't think you can hide that too well either, not in this particular case. But how I got this was my children played with their children, but I hadn't really been in contact with them in a long time, and I ended up seeing them in the driveway and walked up to them. They were a neighbor of mine on the other side of where I live, in my neighborhood,
okay.
And I just walked up. Yeah, that's how I got. That's how I had the opportunity to present to them. That
oh, you mean
necessarily...
you say you walked up to them?
Yeah, I did, literally.
Did you know they were selling when you walked up to them?
Yes. Well, I knew there was an idea that they might be. Yes, I did, because actually at that time they were in the midst of starting to build their new home, but they hadn't put the original home on the market yet. So what
okay.
I was able to do, yeah.
All right, so that's also good. So now people listening to this, they have to recognize, like, some of us would not have done that. So just to paint the picture, here the kids play together. You hear
yeah.
somehow that they're having something built, but they're living in a current home. So obviously they're going to be selling it. They didn't
yeah.
put it for sale sign. They didn't put an ad. They didn't. You just figured, okay,
no.
well, these people are moving from point A to point B. Let me go see
yes.
how I can help them. And you just
that's
went
correct.
Up to them and asked them. And that's that. There's so many agents that wouldn't do that.
I know. There's a lot of fear in that. And it's very fearful to do. It's not easy.
Well,
but.
I think what helps with that fear is if you make it about serving them, helping them
mm-hmm.
move from point A to point B. That if
that's
you
right.
have in your
yeah.
head that I got to get a listing, now you're in the sales mode, being a salesman, being aggressive. And I could see how all of that would be like, I don't want to go over and knock on their door or approach them or go up to them in the driveway because I don't want to be a salesman. But if you take that out of your head and say, hey, these people are moving, they got to sell, I'm licensed by the
right.
state of Massachusetts, let me go see if I can offer my service to them. I mean, I think that's
awesome.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And I see it much more as service versus sale. So what I was able to do, and our kids hadn't even seen each other for a couple of years, but I was able to get a time slot to go and present. And when I walked in and my associate was with me, there were other real estate books on the counter, but
wow.
I didn't look at them because I didn't want to know. And when, you know, we did our, so I didn't want to see a picture of another agent. I didn't even want to see the company name. I didn't care. So I knew they were there. And I tend to do that as I went through my year. I really don't care who else is there. I know they're there, but I don't want the information about the other agent. So anyway, we presented and, actually I think we came back for a second presentation. And I think there were, I don't know how many, but there were multiple companies there. And in the end, they went with me. So.
Now, how many, I hope people are just really getting the power of this, that your first listing was over $2 million and
yes.
plus you're a new agent and they know you're a new agent. So, I mean,
yes.
like, you know, there's so many things that people would say, oh, I wouldn't get it. And, but you asked, and that's the important thing. And I want to highlight one other thing, and I want to ask you about that appointment. You know, when you really think about it, and I said this, Chris, on to one of our power agents that I was talking to. I got a little aggravated for them. They were telling me how they were driving from their office to show a property that was 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
away. So,
yeah.
by the way, this is in Long Island, New York. The only reason why that's relevant is because a 30-minute drive on Long Island, you know, properties are maybe, you know, half of an acre, quarter of an acre, even there's even 50 by 100. My point is there's a lot of real estate in a 30-minute drive.
Right.
And I said to the agent, how many listings and houses and potential sellers are you passing as you sit in your car in that 30-minute drive? Right. In other words, there's so much business right there in your backyard. Why would you waste your time driving 30 minutes to that town to show one buyer some houses? So now I want to highlight about you that,
okay.
You know, the community involvement, your friends, your family, your neighbors, all of the people that you associate in your life, in your community, probably 99.9 of them all live in a home, meaning that all of them are potential people you can serve. And so what I've noticed about top agents is that they don't do real estate. They are real estate 24/7. I'll never forget my broker said he considers himself like a doctor. You know, if a doctor's in a car driving down the street and somebody gets in an accident, they don't say, well, I'm not on the clock right now. They would mm-hmm. do what they do because who they are is helping save lives. They would do whatever's necessary. And right. That's how he looked at himself as a real estate agent and broker, that he was always on call. Everybody he talked
right.
to. And I'll share one other story, and I'm sorry I'm talking so much because this is more about interviewing you.
No,
that's
totally okay.
You're bringing out great stuff in me.
Okay.
He would say, to prove this point, and my broker, Mac, was my mentor, and when I managed his office, and we would go out to dinner at diners or Chinese quite often, maybe 2-3 times a week, me and his wife and him. And he, one time we were sitting at the diner, and he had that conversation with me about mm-hmm. always on call. And I got to tell you something, Chris. He goes like this. He says, listen. And I said, what? He says, listen to the couple next to us. So I listened. And he
yeah.
says, they're talking real estate. He said, there isn't a time that I don't go somewhere where somebody isn't talking about real estate. And it hit me like, and I got to tell you something, Chris. Even now when I travel all over the United States, I'll be in first class, and sure enough, if I really pay attention, every so often I'll hear somebody talking to somebody about a house that they bought, something they're looking at, real estate. So anyway, there's so much abundance out there. Now, let me go jump to you about mm-hmm. the appointment. So
right.
why do you think they listed with you? So why did they list with this new agent? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, let me say this. And, you know, before we go there, sidebar from
sure.
your conversation you just had from me, I have a very good friend who every time I get together with her, she goes, well, where did you get this buyer and where did you get that buyer? And I always say to her, oh, buyers are everywhere.
Yeah.
I never say, because it's not fair to the buyers or the sellers, but that's my standard line. I just say, oh, buyers are everywhere. And I think she hates me every time I say that line, but it's true.
Well,
anyway,
that's probably because that agent is looking like that 30-minute drive agent. You know, they're not looking right in their backyard, their neighbors, their friends, their family, the supermarket. All right. So go ahead. Answer
right.
that. Yes.
Okay. So getting back to the sales appointment, I had my associate with me, Reggie Irving, who was so supportive and knows real estate inside and out because she's been doing it for quite a number of years.
Okay.
So I think it was my lead. I set up all the appointments. She and I put all the CMA books together and everything like that of what we would do for them. So we came in together because, again, I'm new, and I wanted someone with me who could answer anything that was thrown at us. So, you know, between me knowing them and her expertise, they jive with us. And I think one thing that happens with all this is where it becomes from your heart. And you talked about this at your last lecture. You know,
mm-hmm.
we needed to have all the facts there, how this listing would go forward and what would happen to it if they came with us. But also you speak from your heart. And it was
mm-hmm.
great because during that presentation, I'm pretty relaxed around people. I mean, one of the things you said at your lecture last week was that, oh yeah, I'm a people person, which is really funny, but if you can relax them, because it is a big deal, it's a huge amount of money, but if you can still have fun and talk about little things that relate or a story that relates, you're good. So I think
mm-hmm.
it was our hearts, both of us. They
mm-hmm.
liked both of us. And
mm-hmm.
I think they felt very comfortable because they knew I'd be there all the time and they knew we had the expertise as a combination to get the work done.
All right. So now, again, you said a couple of great things in there.
Okay.
First of all, the fact that you were so relaxed and you were focused on them, so it was more about, you know, a lot of agents, they'll go into a listing appointment and they'll be so nervous because they're trying to come from this end result of getting a listing.
Right.
And what I heard you say was that you came from a place and your partner, the agent you went with, came from a place of, hey, we love real estate. And we want to just share with you about it and how we can help you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's a really, really, really powerful, you know, I'm so much into the woo-woo part of our business because I believe it's who you are that dictates what you do. A lot of us put a lot of too much stress on, well, what do? How do you do it? You know, how do you do the script? All that stuff. But it's really who you are. You know, you made me think of, if you go to a movie that you absolutely love, or a restaurant you absolutely love, I'm sure when you share about it with your friends, you're not sharing like you have to go and if you don't, I'm a loser. You're just sharing the experience that, boy, this is such a great restaurant. If you ever get the chance, go check it out, ba, ba, ba. And that's a powerful listing appointment, that you love your business, you love real estate, you love what you do, and, hey, if you want to, you know, work with me, great. And if not, that's fine too. But here's how I believe we can really help you. So
exactly. And we were comfortable walking out. Even, you know, we didn't have the answer yet, but it was still fun walking out. It wasn't awkward and weird and you're picking up your pencil. It was just, okay, you know, we'll talk to you soon, because it is a process and they're not going to make a sometimes they do, but from what I've seen, you know, it's a process. So that process had to go on. I'll tell you this too. This is another sidebar that helped me kind of understand the first year, what we were really looking at people to people is one of the meetings, and my office always is a great office. We always have one meeting a week on a Tuesday, and everybody, you know, it's pretty well, everybody pretty much shows up, which is really great. So you get to share stories. But anyway,
this one agent,
it's good. It works. And this one agent was saying, well, you know, I went out to this listing call, and I had all my facts, and I had all my graphs, and I went over, you know, the state of real estate. And she goes, and in the end, they went with Susie because they liked what Susie had on, and they liked her better, and she lives closer to them. And, like, a huge light bulb went off in my head, like, oh, my gosh. You know, there really is a lot to be said. And I knew this from business anyway. When we would go out, when I was raising money for nonprofits, they give to people, you know, people who donate give to people they like. Okay, the organization could be first or second, but if they don't like the people, they're not going to give to their favorite organization. And I almost feel like that's what this is. And when she said that in that meeting, I never forgot it. It was like, bottom line, it's people to people.
Yeah, you know, oh my gosh, Chris, this is such a, I don't know about people listening to this. I'm getting a lot of value out of this call because you're bringing up so many great things for me. You know, you reminded me about, and this speaks directly to people do business with people they like.
They do.
That I took a training course years ago, many, many years ago. It was a 6-month program, and they didn't use the word sell or close. They used the word enroll. And what the concept was is that people want to enroll into They want to enroll into enjoying their life. They want to enroll into participating in life. And so when you're talking to some, what attracts people in the conversation, so in this case, a listing appointment, if you yourself are enrolled in how great this business is and how exciting it is, and I love what I do, and here's how I do it, and here's how I help people, and you're sharing this euphoric, happy, you know, I'm not saying woo-woo too crazy, but...
Yeah, you can't be an idiot.
Right, you can't be an idiot, but if you're passionate about what you do. People will want some of that passion, you know, and they'll want to be connected with you. It's like, all right, I can trust this person. I want to participate with this person. And so that's awesome. The other thing that you said in that is that you went with somebody, your first listing appointment, which
yes.
That is really good that, you know, any agent that looking to improve their skill and their ability, even if it's not your first listing, just to bring somebody more experienced, more effective at it, is probably a learning experience. And it's worth what you shared. I'm assuming it was 50-50. So, you know, that's a great partnership to have, because I'm sure she taught you so much that probably took months, maybe years off of the learning curve for you.
It did. And what the beauty of it was, like, I did every – I was there, with my buyer and my seller. So, I did a ton of the work, and she did a ton of her work in a different way. So, we complemented each other nonstop. So,
awesome.
It was really the perfect way to do your first listing, and it just happened to be a buyer and a seller that were both mine, number one, and ours, number two, and that it was at that price point. And that at that price point, for some reason, didn't scare me. And actually, the buyer got a hold of me through a text message just saying, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember me. I used to work with your husband. I see this listing. You know, what can you tell me about it? And I texted right back as I was shaking and said, I need to get out here today.
Wow.
Because I knew it was going to, you know, the property was quite beautiful, and I knew there was going to be heavy activity. And it sold in 48 hours.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that's exceptional. All right, now, what about your second listing that you got? Or was it not? All right, go ahead.
So, it's sold in 48. I think MLS has it in 5 days or something. There's always a back and forth.
Sure.
My second listing, this is interesting. So, my second listing was a referral from a family member outside of Philadelphia. And,
I said no, okay.
So she called me and said, look, I have a friend who went to high school with me. Her cousin passed and left her house outside of Boston. I said, okay. And she goes, I told her about you and she wants to use you because she knows me and she feels comfortable. And I said, that's fine. So that was my second listing. I got the listing. I went up. The woman passed in the house, so it was a house from 1955. It was not near this town. It was near south. It was Norwood, Massachusetts. Anyway, long story short, I went up there. Everything in the house was still the same. There was, like, peanut butter on the table, bills. Nothing had changed. So that was my second listing. I ended up clean, you know, the other thing you learn your first year, and this was really important to me, Daryl, was your team that you put together to help you out. And you don't realize how much that's really important. And I mean, cleaners and painters and like junk people that can come in. And in this particular house had to be totally cleaned out. And we get quotes. I got quotes from 4,000 down to 2,000. So, you know, you work for that seller and you put all that together. So this whole project, and I kind of see every time you do a listing as a different case. I call them cases. I even have a box for each one because it's almost like a lawyer's case or something.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's a case. So, you know, the people came up from Philadelphia to see the house. They had no place to stay. I took them to dinner, to Legal Seafood. I'm like, you know, don't worry about it. Just get relaxed. You know, we'll work it out. That house went on the market after it was all cleaned out. The floors, all the rugs were pulled up. You know, I'm very into setting the space on the inside. And I said to them, look, you'll spend $300 to get the rugs up, but I'm telling you, you'll get $10,000 to $15,000 back because it's a beautiful home, and I thought, oh my God, there's going to be 100 million mice in the basement, not one mouse, and this house was built in 1955.
Wow.
So it was really well constructed. Long story short, it went on the market. I sold that house in 2 days. I had 14 offers at the open house.
Wow.
And that's a true story. 14 offers. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right,
and I had the buyer of that house as well as the seller.
Wow. So you're rocking and rolling. All right. So I love the case concept. I love the idea of thinking, all right, I've got to have a team working for me.
Yes.
Contractors, mortgage, title, all. Who else do you consider as part of your team?
Part of the team would be the lender, the attorney. Those are probably one and two. But for me, also, I hate to call him the junk guy, but the person that comes, like a got junk type of company that comes in, because a lot of times they have to clean out. And it's super important. Like this house had a piano. You cannot get rid of pianos. You know, you have to, and no one takes donations very much anymore like they used to. So you're stuck with a lot of this stuff. So I consider the removal man very important.
Mm-hmm.
The painter and cleaners, believe it or not, because the cleaners have to prepare the house before closing. So, you know, that can range from $1,000 down to $200. And so you look for all that, and it saves money on the side of the seller. So I would say probably those guys. I set the space, but my associate, Reggie, and I do that together, and we'll pull in. We'll use what's there, and we simplify everything.
Now, you may do this now, but one of the things that I've talked about, and I think you should absolutely do this, is having a list of who is on your team and explaining this to the homeowner that actually when you hire me, here's my team, and here's why this is so important. And a lot of now what's good about that, too, is by you showing, you know, there's several team members or categories. There's the broker is your partner, your team member. Then you've got the agents in your office. That's part of your team. And
Totally.
Of course, you can look at realtors from other companies as part of your team. But then the other team is these people that work with me, for me. And I would list it, the attorney, the home inspector, the cleaner, da-da-da-da.
Yeah, the home inspector, yes. But the photographer for me is extremely important.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah. So I went through a couple, and I got my guy, and he also, I do with every listing, I do a floor plan, and people are like, oh, well, why do you do that? Well, first off, I don't like measuring the rooms. I always feel like I never get it right. And and I think people online, because everything's pretty much online, really like to see a floor plan.
Now, hold it a second. This, I've never heard this before. And and I've been doing this a long time, as you can guess.
Okay.
Explain this floor plan, because I love this idea. How do you get that done, and what does it look like? Go ahead.
Oh, it's great. So what happens is I am my photographer team company, and so I work a deal with him. He's an individual guy, and he comes out and he does the photography of the property. Now, he also has, I think it's a software package, where he goes in and it's with lasers that hole measure the rooms. And right there on his computer, it's like a blueprint or a floor plan. It's a literal floor plan, kitchen.
Okay.
And then then when he does this, he also has the ability to do the measurements with the laser. So at the end, for me, it's so much more worth it. So I don't have to get in there and measure, because it's something I don't like to do and spend my time doing that. I much rather have a professional do that. And in the end, I get the floor plan that looks great on MLS and online.
And so if I heard you correctly, so your photographer also is doing the measurements and putting it into a software that generates a blueprint layout of the house.
That's correct. It's a floor plan. Yeah.
So not like a blueprint. Yeah, like a real detail. But it's a floor plan where it has measurements for each wall in each room. Yeah.
Yeah, and it has a title to each room, like kitchen, foyer, garage. I don't think he doesn't do shrubs or anything, but, you know, staircase. And there's different floors. Like, there's a first floor plan, second floor plan, basement, if the basement's significant.
Can I tell you how much I love this idea? Because that's almost like new construction. That's what you might see in new construction.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've even seen it like on apartments. So if somebody wants to, you know, rent an apartment, here's the layout, and here's the size of the rooms. I mean, why
that's
not?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's. Do you know what software he's using for that?
I have no idea.
And okay.
I don't, you know, see, here's the thing, Daryl. I don't want to know. You know, just. Here's my check.
Just do it.
Give me the floor plan. And it's great because I don't have to. And what I'll do with him, because I'm kind of involved. Like, I think one thing we haven't touched on at all is communication. But, you know, you have all these people from the photographer, even landscapers. I have landscaper guys that come in and prepare the outside because the outside is your first impression. So
yeah.
I literally have my guys that come in and will do the shrubs and get rid of all the twigs and the leaves and all that stuff. But, so he'll do the floor plan. I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway.
All right, so let's hear. I do want to – you said there was something else that – and by the way, just everybody listening, just for giggles, I type in floor plan – and up came this website, floorplanner.com, which looks like, and it says great for real estate, looks like anybody can do this. But I love your thinking. I don't think an agent should do this. I just love the idea, instead of the agent even taking photos of the property, hire somebody, you know, pay them whatever you want to pay them, have them come take the photos, have them take multiple photos. You decide which ones you're going to put in MLS. Have them do the floor plan. If they don't have the software, send them to that website. Let them get it. And that's a part of your team member. I love it.
I don't do my own photos, no. I don't do my own floor plan, no. Do I? That's my expense. I pick up that expense, but it's well worth it to me because, he'll do like 40 photos, and I go through for MLS and pick out the top 25 or whatever.
Okay. Love this. Now,
and at the end is where I put in the floor plan for the in the MLS. At the end is the floor plan.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's also, I would think you can use the floor plan on feature sheets to leave at the house when it's shown.
Yeah.
You can put it on your own website. Love this little thing. And listing appointment. Showing a homeowner, this is one of the things I do. This is why this is important. This is why I have it. You know, what I love about the floor plan idea is that, you know, there's so many homeowners, you go to talk to them, and they think they can do what we do. They think, all right, I can do a public open house. I can run an ad. I can show that. And now they can't do it as well, or there's reasons why a realtor doing it's better. But then there's the things that we can do that they can't do. You know, this is one of those things, like they'll be like, a physical might be like, geez, I never thought of how important a floor plan can be for a buyer to consider the house. But then of course the next question is, well, if you didn't think of that, what else haven't you thought about? And so that's why working with a realtor is so important. Okay. Now there's something else that you said that we haven't even talked about yet. I guess what was it, customer service or communication or something?
I think it was communication.
Communication. Okay. So talk to me about that.
Well, I think it's kind of tricky because you don't want to over communicate and be a pain, mm-hmm. and you don't want to under communicate and lose the momentum, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, with my first year of what I did, my houses sold very quickly. So I think my the first four listings all went with under a week. I sold them, done.
Okay.
And so part of the reason why I think that works for me is because once I get the listing, I'm very clear. You know, I go there and, you know, have the paper signed. I know there's DocuSign, but in a lot of ways you lose communication with DocuSign. There's good and bad times to use it, but I like to go back over usually in the evening when if it's a Mr. and Mrs. that own the home or whatever the situation is, but both there. I a lot of times take two copies with me so they both have something to look at.
Okay.
But so I put a schedule together, and actually I've made some charts with, you know, how the process will go. You know, when once you get an accepted offer, how many days is there before the inspector comes in? Well, there's 10 days. People don't know that. And then it's 12 days until you get, you know, past that point till you get the PNS signed. So I like to make sure all that. But the biggest thing I start with, and even on the listing appointment, I start when I walk around that house, and you have to be a little careful about this too, but I start giving out suggestions like, geez, let's, you know, why don't you simplify in here? What I would say is, you know, great space. It's all about light. It's all about space. So you need to get rid of all around here. And so it's a trust factor you're building up really fast. If you get past all that and you get your listing appointment, the first thing is the open house. And I like to have my properties, like, way sold by the end of the – and I do two open houses, Daryl, back-to-back. I do a Saturday and a Sunday. Nobody does it, but I do it.
Because
you're already in the mode. And, you know, people like to come back a second time. And so I work – heavy at the beginning and get those open houses going with the hope and dream is that you have four or five buyers by Sunday evening that need to get all their offers in by Monday night.
Well, I think that's a good idea, you know, to do it back to back in case a buyer wants to come back the next day. That's a great, great thinking there. I love that. Okay. I love the idea about making the subtle suggestions, too, while you're previewing the house. You know, and here's something that's good to add to that is just how important lighting is. You know, when a builder builds a model home for people to look at, I've noticed this, is that they always, always, if they're a good builder, they always load up the house with hi-hats. Like tremendous amount, like more than I think a person normally would. But that's because there's no dark place in that house. I mean, it's vibrant, you know, the music is playing in the background,
I always have music,
All right, very
instrumental music with my open houses. No, you know, like a kind of like the Charlie Brown music or, you know, some nice jazz.
Oh, okay. So, I'm trying to think of, what's her name, the Wrecking Ball, what's that thing, the Wrecking Ball?
Right, with, I know who you mean.
We're showing our age right now, aren't we?
Right, we are, what the heck, she had a TV show, Hannah Montana.
There you go, Miley, whatever, okay.
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, Miley, okay. So,
okay, one thing, if you don't mind, what you're talking about with the builder, with the lighting and the this and the that, the other thing I find is really important, this is communication again, and this goes back to when you come in for your possible listing appointment, where you're there for that listing appointment, is I always make sure I pull a sheet, the public record sheet, so I know a little bit of the background of the house. So when I'm walking around and I had this happen, one of my listings, I'm like, okay, well, you paid X for this like 5 years ago, they said. And I'm like, so you realize that that was, I think it was like right before the crash happened up here or something.
Yeah.
So they knew that they paid a lot then. So it's a different market. Now the market's almost the same. But anyway, just know it gives them comfort that you have some idea of what you're looking at besides just walking in and saying, and I never do this anyway, oh, that's a pretty, you know, pink bureau or something. You want to be businesslike at the same time friendly.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Very great. All right. Now, is there anything that you want to add, because we're coming to the end of our call, that you think is important that you'd like to share with people? I do want to ask you, wait, before we go to that, is there anything else that you think you do on a listing appointment that's unique that you like to talk about, that you're passionate about?
No, I think the one thing I'd like to say about everything we talked about, Daryl, is that it doesn't, all this does not fall into your lap. Like, we're having this great conversation. It sounds so easy. Oh, my God, you go in and you talk about, you work it and you really do your homework and you study it. And putting like a CMA together, like the comparative market analysis, I thought I was going to pull my hair out. That was the type of learning curve that you have to go through too, because you have to understand the computer programs on how to do that and how to pull out a property that was similar to the property that you're going to present on. So I guess my last point is you really have to do your homework and you really have to learn those technical things that when you walk in, you can use your heart because your head knows all about what you're actually telling someone.
Okay, very good, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so is there anything that we missed that we should cover that you want to share to help people, especially those first-year people?
Yeah, I would say with first-year people, it's okay that you don't know everything, I think, is number one. And it's okay when you're with your buyers or your sellers that you make a mistake about something or you say something stupid. You know, you can laugh and say, oh, whoops, let's look at it again this way. I mean, I think to be human in front of them is super important, but also to make sure that you have an outline of where you're taking them, because you are moving them from A to B, and you really need to think about the beginning and the end.
Awesome. Very great.
Oh,
wow. You did a great job, Chris.
Well, thank you, Daryl. It was so much fun meeting you last week.
And I'm
You'll
so
pay
glad.
Later.
Well, this was, you had so many great creative things and so much contributed in this. I have no doubt as the years progress that, you're going to be, one of the top agents in the marketplace. There's no doubt about it. So, I hope that in the next couple of years when you hit that status, that you'll come back and do another interview. We do like before and after and we can show everybody the growth. So let's give everybody your contact information again in case they want to reach out to you for something. So your email, your cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah, and referrals, don't be afraid of referrals. I mean, that's the other thing. I've used from people from Philadelphia and New York, and it's okay to just go out there and talk to people outside of your town. People move around, and A to B doesn't always mean in your town. Anyway, my name is Chris Swem. I'm with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. My address for my office is 15 Depot Street in Duxbury, Mass. But most importantly, my cell phone is 781-561-5163. My email is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, .Swem, S as in Sam, W-E-M, at N-E-Moves with an S, .com.
Awesome. All right, Chris, you are wonderful. Thank you so much. Stay with me. We're going to just close this out. Gang, thanks for listening. And don't forget that we don't just listen to sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level. The money that you make is a mere reflection and gauge as to how many lives you've touched. So focus on touching more lives. The money will follow. All right, until the next time, don't forget to keep smiling. Bye-bye.